Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you didn't notice, I'm not Pastor Craig. Much handsomer. You can let him know I said that. He does like to remind me that if I look down, you start to see a little bit going away, that I'm becoming more and more like him than I think. Him and his wife are out of town. They are celebrating 29 years of marriage, so we are excited for them. He'll be back sometime this week. He'll be here Thursday night with his friend that's coming down, Mr. Beauchamp, that's coming. So just continue to lift them up in prayer as they enjoy some time of rest and relaxation and celebration. So we're excited that they get to go do that. You know, you should try to take a vacation every year. If you haven't, you need to do it. All of us need some rest. I heard a story the other day I want to share with you. You guys seem a little more awake than first service, so maybe this will go over a little bit better. I heard a story the other day, and it was about a husband and a wife, and they went to the Holy Land, and the husband took his mother-in-law with him, and so the three of them went to the Holy Land, and they're having a great time, and all of a sudden his mother-in-law passes away. She has a heart attack, and she doesn't make it, and so the undertaker is talking to him like, look, here's the deal. You can bury her here for $150, or you can, you know, have her shipped back to the United States for $5,000. And he's just like, okay, well, that's an easy decision. And he says, well, okay, what do you want to do? He goes, well, I want to bring her back to the United States. And he goes, but that's, you know, $5,000 to do that. He goes, yeah, but I know there's this man named Jesus that over 2,000 years ago, he died and he raised from the dead here, and I can't take that chance. All right, just making sure you guys are awake this morning. Okay. Now we're going to have some fun at church. I love it. All right, maybe it was a bad joke. I don't know. We're going to be stepping into a new series, and the new series is called Living Large. And so what we're talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take the next several weeks. I think it's a six-week series on the power of the Holy Spirit. So today's going to be kind of let's introduce what the Holy Spirit is. Who is the Holy Spirit? We'll talk a little bit about it, maybe how it can work in our lives. But we'll continue to build on that throughout the series. Pastor Craig's friends will be here the next week. And then actually Christy Esk is going to speak on Mother's Day. We got that coming. Right? So guys, hurry up. Don't wait till last minute. Get your mom something before you forget and it's Sunday and it's Mother's Day. Because I've never done that before. So. Okay, maybe a few times I've done that. Did you get your mom something? No, I'll be right back. I love my mom, but sometimes I'm not good at those kind of things. We're going to spend most of our time in the book of John, in John 16. And so I want to go into this a little bit. Again, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we get so excited about Easter. Everybody have a good Easter? Yeah, what a great Easter. If you're here Friday and Sunday and man, just such a great time to be with everybody and just to be excited what God has done. But a lot of times we get so excited about what God's doing or what God's, you know, the resurrection and all that means and all that's behind that. And it's great. And sometimes we forget to just stop and read what God had promised after his death. What's coming and what is he telling his disciples that you and I need to know? There's things that he says in John in chapter 16 that you and I need to know. Now, we may know it, but he's telling them ahead of time what's going to happen. And so it says in verse 1, it says in chapter 16, it says, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." I don't know about you, my first thought is when I read that, I think, what are those things is he talking about? These things I have spoken to you, okay? Well, if you want to turn back, I didn't tell the media guys, but if you want to turn back to chapter 15, and in verse 18, he's telling them ahead of time. So chapter 14, he's telling them all the great things that's happening and all this good stuff. And then he starts to shift into 15 because he talks about, he's mentioned a couple different times that he's leaving and they don't fully understand what that means. They don't really know. But we start to get this shift in scripture where in chapter 15, he's telling them some things that might be a little difficult to hear. Anybody hear some things in life that they don't really want to hear? Right? So in verse 18 of chapter 15, he says, If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Right? That's a message to you and to me. Right? If we're not of the world, if we're of Christ, the people that are in the world aren't going to like us. Right? But we're supposed to go on being love and show them Christ. And so it's a challenge that we face. And so the Lord is talking to them that this is going to happen. And these disciples are probably just wondering, what are you talking about? And then in verse 26, he says, but when my helper comes. Now, he would have mentioned it another time. But he says, when my helper comes, so I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So then we go into verse 1, what I just wrote of chapter 16. It says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. So again, he's telling them these negative things are going to happen. If you follow me, you've chosen me, this is what's coming. And I'm saying this to you so that you don't stumble, right? I can say to you, hey, guess what? You're going to face some trials, some tribulations, some difficult times. Those things are going to come and they're going to go. In the midst of all of that, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep pressing into the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to handle it. It's not going to cause you to stumble. The word stumble really means to fall away. See, I think we get caught up in our stuff and we fall away because we're not pressed into the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord says, I'm going to send you a helper, a comforter. I'm going to send that for you. Right? And the disciples aren't really sure, right? Because he hasn't died yet. And then we haven't had Pentecost, which is really when we see the Holy Spirit come. Now, again, the Holy Spirit's always existed. So in Genesis, it's the Holy Spirit is there, right? But the shift in the Pentecost comes when we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit, God leaves that to live inside of us. That's the shift that happens. And we kind of miss that when we talk about the Easter and the resurrection because it talks about it in chapter 16. And so when he talks about he tells them that so they won't stumble. He's trying to help them. He's trying to prepare them for some things that might come. And so when I read this, I think this is for you and I. You and I, there's going to be things that are going to be a challenge. Anybody face challenges in their life? Of course. It's how we respond to them that's key. In verse 2 of chapter 16, so he's talking about not making them stumble. He says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Oof. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. I'm going to follow Jesus. They're going to kick me out of synagogues and they're going to kill me in the name that they think is God. Right? Now we read the synagogues and we think, oh yeah, they kicked out of the church. Now look, here's the difference. In that culture, in that time, your synagogue was your community's church. Like if you left here, you could drive 5 minutes down the road and find another one, no one would know. In that time period, if you got kicked out of your synagogue, like yeah, that's your community. That's your culture. That's the people you hang out with. If you get kicked out of that culture, right, that synagogue, they're essentially kind of exiling you out. You got to leave because they're going to all know who you are. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the HBO series called Band of Brothers. It's a World War II special. Same guys that did Saving Private Ryan. It's awesome if you're into World War II stuff. And so one of the scenes is the United States has come and they've liberated Eindhoven, they've liberated Holland, and there's this big celebration and this big party that the Germans are gone and the United States has come, the Allies have come, and this is this great big celebration. And in their town center, you see there's this scene where these women are in the town center and these guys are pushing them in the center and they're ripping their clothes. The only thing that's left is their undergarments. And then they take these scissors and they cut all of their hair off. Until where the hair is gone and little chunks are left, almost completely bald except thing, clothes ripped, just completely tattered. Well, the reason they did that is because they gave a place for the Germans to stay. A lot of these women had slept with the Germans, and so they were kicking them out, right, of their synagogues, out of their community. They were marked in that community. It's the same thing we're talking about here. They would have been marked. If you get kicked out of your synagogue, you would have been marked. So Jesus is telling them, look, I don't want you to stumble. There's some things that are going to happen. Yep, they're going to kick you out of synagogues because you're speaking the truth. People are going to come and try to kill you because of me, because of your testimony that you follow Jesus Christ. And I wonder, man, in America, we don't really face that. Those of us that know Josh and Enosh that have gone to our ministry school or live in Sri Lanka, man, Easter was crazy for them. All these bombs and things going off, and Enosh and I are pretty close, and he's sending me text messages of what's happening, and it's just like this attack. And he sent me one the other day. He says, doesn't matter who they are, they're not stopping us. I was like, Enosh, that's awesome that you're continuing to fight for those things. But in verse 3, it says, and these things that they will do to you because they do not know the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember what I told you of them. And these things I did not say at the beginning because I was with you. In other words, Jesus didn't right away. Like, you don't tell your brand new baby how to balance a checkbook. Right? The baby's not going to get it. Right? Your baby isn't even able to walk when they're born. It takes time for them to learn how to walk. Right? I don't know about you, but when I was a parent, it was great when she couldn't walk, and then when she walked, all of a sudden you had to start moving. Right? Oh man, there she goes again. I gotta go get, like, right? And then everybody got the gates up, so I'm gonna lock the kids in this area. They can't get out. Just my household, huh? So Jesus didn't tell them these things in the beginning. He waited till he spent time with them. He built relationship. They could trust him. They knew him. And so now he's going to lay, like, all of us learn things. Even if you think of your life, you've learned things, right? Sometimes I go, man, if I had known what I know now and back then, would I have done something different? Of course, some circumstances, yes. Right? Others, I'm like, you know, it might have been good that I didn't know, because I probably would have never even attempted that if I had known the outcome. Right, you watch these guys do this improv, right? And she talked about how it's kind of like life, right? Sometimes we're just figuring out as we go. Right, but Jesus didn't tell them everything. So verse 5, it says, but now I go away to him who sent me. So who's he going away to? He's going away to the Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? See, look, he's telling them all of this stuff. I'm leaving. I'm going. Now I'm going to go away to him, and they're not even asking him where he's going. They're so caught up in their own stuff, in their own self, that they don't even ask Jesus, where are you going? Like, if they had realized where he was going, they would have had a different reaction. Where are you going? They didn't even ask him that. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Right? So they're upset that he says he's going to leave. But where's he going? He's going to heaven. Right? Their focus was in the wrong place. I don't know about you, but sometimes my focus can be in the wrong place. I can get caught up in the things of this world pretty easy. But in verse 7, here's the part that I love. It says, nevertheless, even though all of this stuff's going to happen, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I don't know about you, but if I was a disciple and I got to hang out 3 years with Jesus, and he said, it's better that I go away, I would have been, huh? What are you talking about? Like Jesus, you fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and you healed the sick and the lame, and you saved people, you did all these kind of miracles. Like, what do you mean it's better if you go? What are you talking about? That's what he says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, not just the disciples. I'm talking to you this morning. It's better for you that Jesus died, because what? He sent his helper for us. He sent the Holy Spirit so that you and I don't have to do it on our own. We get to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's awesome. I don't want to do it on my own because I will screw it up, I promise. So nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So he's going to send his helper. We know that Pentecost comes, I think 50 days later, and that's when Pentecost, and Pastor Craig will get to end that, this kind of the series with the Pentecost. He gets the fun stuff. But the disciples they just had the wrong focus. Like they just were thinking of themselves, and they weren't listening. They weren't really paying attention, and they couldn't understand. And they wouldn't, how could it be better if you're gone? I don't understand. But their focus was off, because the reality is they needed to continue to be filled. They needed to continue to press in. They didn't need to think about what did that mean? They needed to continue to live out what they've been called to do. Right? You and I need to continue to be filled. You and I need to continue to be filled up. And so if you think of a glass, an empty glass, I think it was D.L. Moody that was talking about this, but it was as an empty glass, and he says, if I have an empty glass, how do I get the air out of it? Right, if I would have had a cup up here and a pitcher of water, if I start pouring the water into the cup, what happens to the air? It comes out. And to the point where it's filled up. See, that's how you and I have to function. If we're going to live a life that's worthy of serving Christ, if we want to make a difference, if we want to have an impact, you and I have to continue to seek the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to fill us up. There's a lot of different ways, and we'll continue to talk about that as the series goes on, but there's a lot of different ways to get filled up. If you come on a Thursday night, I'm not bringing any guilt or shame on you. I'm just saying, when I come Thursday night, I get filled up. There is no question about it. There is no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is moving, and I get filled up. I get encouraged. We have to continue to be filled. It talks about it in Ephesians, about being filled with the Spirit. Be filled with so much of Him that there isn't much left of you. Man, I don't know about you, but I there's so many times I don't even realize that I'm trying to fix the problem myself. There's so many times that I'm in situations and I'm, how do I solve it? And that I just would go, Lord, give me wisdom here. Lord, give me insight to this situation. Lord, how can I talk to this person? If someone's wrestling with me and when we got this argument going on and I act in my flesh, it's not going to be good. But I go through life so many times and I tried to, and I'm like, oh man, why didn't I ask God? Why didn't I ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do in this situation? What do I do with this information? But if I'm continuing to fill myself up, that means that I'm close to the Holy Spirit. So you can sit in this church every single Sunday and not be close to the Holy Spirit. I did it for years. Growing up as a kid, going to church, I just sat in there. I didn't pay attention much. You can be in this church right now and not feel filled up. The reality is you and I have to take that step toward Him. That's what fills us up, is us spending time with him, us reading the word of God, us getting around people, coming on a Thursday night and praying, getting filled up, listening to worship music, starting your day off right. Those things will fill you up. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems, because he just told his disciples, you're going to have problems, and some of you are going to die because of me. And yet they still chose to follow him. You know, when the Pentecost comes, these guys, they go out and they start going, look, it's better that God is leaving. You know why? Because he's leaving the Helper. He's leaving the Holy Spirit that's going to be inside you and me. And it's up to you and to me to spread the good news. It's up for you and to me to go share the gospel around the globe, around the community, wherever it may be, wherever the Lord calls you. It's better that that's in us to go do that. Think of how we can multiply the kingdom of God versus one man. Because if Jesus is still on earth, if he's still here and he's in Jerusalem, you know what I'm doing? I'm getting on a plane. I'm flying to Jerusalem. I'll be unchristian-like. I'm going to punch somebody, kick somebody, fight somebody. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get close to Jesus so I can touch his garment. But that's not what happened. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that now lives in us. He left that for us, the same. Wrap your mind around that for the next 30 years. The same. Wow. We have to be filled, guys. It says various Greek scholars and Bible commentators point out that the Greek present imperative tense is used in this verse where it says Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. It is the connotation of a continuous replenishment and ongoing and repeating filling. It has been suggested by some that an awkward but accurate translation would be something like, go on being filled. I don't know where you're at today. But when I think of the struggles and the difficulties I've had in my life and how much of I've tried to fight on my own, and then I study this and I read this and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're an idiot. Why don't you read your Bible more? They gave the message. He told the disciples what to do. He gave you a helper. Why don't you use him? Guys, we got to use the helper. See, the helper isn't some mystical, magical thing that just kind of floats around and hopefully I get him. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And God left it for us to dwell in us. We get that person. We're supposed to have relationship with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like for you? See, the Holy Spirit is the same. The Greek word, there's two types of Greek words they could have used here. Heteros, which means another or a different kind, or allos, which is another of exactly the same kind. The allos is the word, the Greek word that they use in this context, which means another of exactly the same kind. So the same thing that Jesus, that same person is in us. That's what he left. It's not somebody different. It's not a different thing. It's the same. And I think when we understand the power and the authority that God has given us by empowering us in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it should change us. It should move us to act differently. It should capture our hearts and our minds. Man, he did that for me. I have that in me. I can go do what the disciples did. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. You and I are supposed to be that. The Holy Spirit will be just like Jesus. See, the disciples had the opportunity to be with Jesus and to see him, yet they still doubted. We know what happened at the end, and a lot of them doubted or left or denied. But man, when that Holy Spirit came, those guys were off and running. Right? Ultimately, a lot of them all died because of serving the Lord, killed in different ways. They were able to walk by sight a little bit because they saw. But they saw later in life, they had to walk by faith. Jesus now being gone, they have to walk by faith. You and I have to walk by faith. Doesn't mean we don't see miracles and don't see things. I'll tell you a story in a minute. But we do see those things happen. But the reality is we don't see Jesus. But we can see what he can do. See, he's a person. And it says that he came to convict. I don't see it as a negative. Right? In verse 8, it says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. In other words, I think I'm going to convert the world. If you and I don't recognize sin, then you and I don't see a desire for a reason to have a relationship with Jesus. Right? He said he's going to come to convict. The Holy Spirit's going to come to convict. And so when that happens, that you and I would shift, you and I would change. We go, oh, I've got sin in my life. I need Jesus. Right? So it says that he would come, he would convict the world of sin. So we gotta make a choice between the world or between Jesus, between the Holy Spirit and the things of this world. We've got to make a choice. How much of our lives are we living in the Holy Spirit? How much of our lives are we living in the flesh? See, the day you and I accepted Jesus, that war began. The Holy Spirit versus our flesh, that war began. That war still exists today and will always exist today. It's just a matter of which one's winning. The more time that you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more likely that's going to be the one that's winning. Even Jesus was born, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that he was baptized by John. The Holy Spirit came down on him. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what he was able to do in his 3 years of ministry. And then he up and left the disciples wondering. And the disciples went out to all around the world, different parts of the world, and we're here today because of that. We're here today because of what that spread. Like the reason Jesus left is the ability to multiply those into his kingdom was greater. See, it's up to you and I to decide, hey, how much are we gonna follow this Jesus? How much? Am I 50% in? Am I 70% in? Or am I all in? It's up to you and me. It's our decision. I don't know about you, but life doesn't make sense without him. Challenges are going to come and go. But I want to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit's telling me. See, I look at it this way. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more likely you're going to be willing to listen to what he has to say and go, oh, is that me or is that Jesus telling me that? That little still small voice in the back. What is that, God or is that me? The more you're with him, the more you're able to understand that his voice is telling you to do. See, there's a man named Dr. Crandall. You could even go look at it on YouTube. And I think it was 2006. He's a cardiologist. He's a Christian man. And he's working that night. This guy named Jeff is driving to work. So maybe it was in the morning. That Jeff was driving to work. And Jeff calls his boss and said, I don't think I'm going to be able to come in today. I'm not feeling well. And his boss said, you know what, why don't you get yourself to the hospital? I'm worried about you. No. He goes, please do me a favor and get yourself to the hospital. So he gets to the hospital, gets out of his car, walks into the ER, and just falls face first, boom, down. Heart attack. Nurses, doctors get him back to the ER. 40 minutes they work on him. They shock him, try to revive him, nothing. Doctor, time of death, fills out the form. Nurses fixing up whatever she's got to fix up. And the doctor, Crandall, starts to walk out of the room and he hears, go pray for him. See, if you and I are pressing into the Holy Spirit, we'll hear when God prompts us. And he kind of just goes, that's kind of weird. I don't know. So he takes another step and he hears, go pray for him. Right? You've got a choice now. God can't force him to do it. He can walk out of that room. It's dead. The guy's dead. Everybody knows that. That's what happened. 40 minutes trying to revive him didn't work. And he says, you know, I'm going to listen. So he goes back in. And the nurse is saying, what are you doing? He says, I just need to pray for this man. Well, he's dead. We've tried. Yeah, I just need to pray for him. The people there know that he was a Christian and a believer. And okay, so he lays his hands on the guy and he says, Lord, if this man doesn't know you, resurrect his body. In Jesus' name, that's all he says. And then he felt like he told this other doctor that came in because they were kind of questioning what he was doing. And he said, you know, Dr. Crandall, what's going on? He goes, I just felt like we need to shock him one more time. He goes, no, we can't do that. We've already done this. We've signed the certificate. It's done, man. You need to let this go. It's okay. We've tried. We did our best. He goes, would you just do me this one favor? I just feel like we need to shock him one time. Doctor says, fine, well, Dr. Crandall, I'll do this for you, but this is unusual. Picks the paddles, shocks him. Guy comes back to life. So much so that they can't find anything wrong with his heart. Arteries are clear, heart 100% strong, nothing. For years, he's been going back to the same doctor to get checkups. They found no residual damage to his heart whatsoever. Zero. All because a man was willing, before he stepped out, he heard the voice of God and said, I need to go listen to that voice of God. If this Dr. Crandall is not spending time with the Lord, he doesn't hear the voice of God. If he doesn't hear the voice of God, this man is not alive today and he doesn't know Jesus. You know what this man, this Jeff that's alive today, you know what he said? The doctor asked him, what was it like for you when you were dead? He said, I was in this dark place all alone. It was completely dark. I was all alone. So I want to challenge you this morning. Where are you at when you're spending time with the Lord? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Do you listen to the Holy Spirit only in your quiet time? Do you listen to the Holy Spirit when you go to a restaurant and says, hey, pray for that waiter or that waitress? We had a tour guide when we were in Belize. Mikey's the only one that knows this story, but we'd come back and we'd hung out with the tour guide, and she was just standing off to the side, and I'm walking, the Lord says, go pray for her. I'm like, we gotta go, God. Go pray for her. So I grab Mikey, you know, wisdom, bringing someone with you when you're especially in a foreign country, and we start praying for this lady, and I get done, and she's got some tears in her eyes, and she just goes, thank you so much. That meant so much to me. I don't know anything else more than that. But I know that little obedience that I said, I'm going to listen to the Lord, somehow touched that lady's life, somehow impacted. I don't know what God's going to do with her. I don't know what plans he has for her. But I want to challenge you to try to hear the voice of God throughout your day. And the way you do that is by spending more and more time with him. Look, I'm guilty at times going, I'm just going to turn on the TV tonight. I'm tired. I don't want to come on Thursday. And you get here and you're like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. I'm never disappointed when I hang out with God. Never. So stand with me this morning. Prayer team, if you guys would come up. The cool thing is that God sent his Holy Spirit for you and for me. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's there for us. He's there to guide us, to help figure things out. He is there. He is there, and we're supposed to lean on him and rely on him. But we have got to be continually filled. We have got to be in community with each other. We have got to spend time in the Word. We have got to spend time worshiping. It's up to you and I. God is always willing. We just have to keep walking closer to him. But maybe this morning you go, I don't even know this. Just, if you guys just close your eyes for a second. You say, I don't even know this Holy Spirit, this Jesus. I'm not even sure what that is, but I want it. I want this in my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow him. I want this fulfillment. I want life to have meaning and purpose. If you say this morning, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand this morning? Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At the end of service, you guys that raise your hands, if you would come up front, but let's pray this together as a church. Say, Jesus, come into my life. I declare you my Lord and my Savior. God, I give everything to you. I want to follow you all the rest of the days of my life. Father, I love you. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. And maybe this morning you want to come get prayer because you're like, I need a little something extra. I need prayer to that. What you're talking about, I don't have that mindset. I need to get closer to the Holy Spirit, and I just want some prayer. Or maybe you're saying, hey, I need to be filled up by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. I got people up here that'll pray that with you. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what life's challenges are going on, but I know we all have them. But I would encourage you to come forward and receive prayer. Make that commitment today. Make those changes that you go, I gotta shift some things. Ask for prayer today. Be honest with somebody. They're here for you. They're here to, I'm here to pray. So let me pray for us before we go. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for sending your helper, your comforter, your Holy Spirit. God, you didn't leave us hanging. You left us something better than when you were here. It is better that you go and the Holy Spirit come. We thank you for that gift. So, Father, I ask you bless people this week. God, encounter them this week. Father, we just love you. And I pray a blessing over those that are here this morning. Bless us as they go. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 If you need prayer, please come forward.